today's verse is,
we're focusing on Canto 5, chapter 13, text 22. That will be the focus of today's verse. Chapter 13 is called as Rahuguna Converses with Jadabharat. Rahuguna Converses with Jadabharat. So text number 22 goes as follows.
Nahyat bhutam tvat charana jarenu bhi. Nahyat bhutam tvat charana jarenu bhi. Hatam haso bhaktir adoksha jemala.
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 Mauhurti kadyasya samagamachame.
Mauhurti kadyasya
Kadyasya samagamachame. Dushtar kamulo bhavato vivekah.
Dushtar
kamulo bhavato vivekah. Nahyat bhutam tvat charanabjharenu bhir. Hatam haso bhaktir adoksha jemala. Mauhurti kadyasya samagamachame.
Mauhurti kadyasya samagamachame.
Dushtar kamulo bhavato vivekah. Nahyat bhutam tvat charanabjharenu bhir. Hatam haso bhaktir adoksha jemala. Mauhurti kadyasya samagamachame. Pahato vivekah.
Adbhutam. Wonderful. Tvat charana abjarenubhi. By the dust of your lotus feet. Hata amshaha. Who am completely freed from the reactions of sinful life. Bhakti. Love and devotion. Adhokshaje. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is beyond the capture of experimental knowledge. Amala. Completely freed from all material contamination. Mauhuritikat. Momentary. Yasya. Of whom? Samagamam. By the visit and association. Cha. Also. Me. Sorry. Me. Mahe. Dustarka. Of false arguments. Mula. The root. Apahataha. Completely vanquished. Avivekaha. Not discriminating. Translation. It is not at all wonderful. It is not at all wonderful that simply by being covered by the dust of your lotus feet, one immediately attains the platform of pure devotional service to Adhokshaja, which is not available even to great demigods like Brahma. By associating with you, just for a moment, by associating with you, just for a moment, I am now freed from all argument, false prestige, and lack of discrimination. which are the roots of entanglement in the material world. Now I am free from all these problems. Papa, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Association with pure devotees certainly frees one from the material clutches. Association with pure devotees certainly frees one from the material clutches. This is certainly true of King Rahuguna's association with Jadabharat. King Rahuguna was immediately freed from the misgivings of material association. The arguments offered by pure devotees to their disciples are so convincing that even a dull-headed disciple is immediately enlightened with spiritual knowledge. Even a dull-headed disciple is immediately enlightened with spiritual knowledge. Who are these dull-headed disciples? It's talking about us.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam
Namaskritya. Narayanam Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudhiraye. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki krishnaya vasudevaya devaki nandanaya cha nandakopa kumaraya govindaya namo namaha
om gyanati ramishaya mandrashalakaya chakshurmritam Sri Guru Sri Chaitanya Manavishtam Sapitamina Buddha Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadamikam Muham Karodhi Vachalam Pangum Langaya Degiri Mitripata Mahamandri Sri Guru Dhyatayanam Pancha Kalpataru Pishcha Kripa Sandhu Pyaya Vacha Paditanam Pavani Pyo Vishnavi Pyo Namo Mahajay Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Karada Sri Vasadi Gauru Uttavanda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama
It is not at all wonderful that simply by being covered by the dust of your lotus feet, one immediately attains the platform of pure devotional service to Adokshaja, which is not available even to great demigods like Brahma. By associating with you, just for a moment, I am now freed from all argument, false prestige, and lack of discrimination, which are the roots of entanglement in the material world. Now I am free from all these problems. At least now we are hearing one positive thing. He is free from all problems. Till now he was only getting chastised. Okay. So, this is a very, very heavy section of the Srimad Bhagavatam where a guru, a shiksha guru is chastising his disciple. In one sense, it's instruction, but heavy instructions sometimes can be seen as chastisement because it's meant for correction. So there is no difference between instruction and chastisement in the realm of spirituality. Because this chastisement comes out of care, affection and concern. So, okay, you'll have to. Otherwise we'll give you more homework today. So, Jadabharat is now, what's happened here is, we all know this, many speakers have told this before. Maharaj Rahuguna was initially displaying some kind of arrogance towards Jadabharat. But after having realized the greatness of Jadabharat as a personality, with every passing moment in the association of Jadabharat, Maharaj Rahuguna is having a change of heart. Gradually it's happening. And by now, Maharaj Rahuguna has probably come completely down to earth. Seems like that here. So, now Jadabharat is able to observe the change in Rahuguna. A spiritual master can observe that the disciple is maturing with instructions. So Jadabharat is now affected by the sincere inquiry of Rahuguna. And therefore Jadabharat is now revealing his heart to him. And as Jadabharat keeps on revealing his heart and giving more and more instructions, Maharaj Rahuguna has now come to a point that he is saying that now he is free from all his problems. Which means what? That means I am free from all my anarthas. When we say Klesha Agni in Bhakti, Klesha Agni is the first characteristic of Bhakti. Klesha Agni means relief from all material distress. It doesn't mean devotees will not have COVID-19. It doesn't mean like that. Material distress will come. So Klesha Agni more refers to our samskaras which we have developed over many, many, many lifetimes. So all that is destroyed. Bhakti has the power to destroy those samskaras such that we don't have to take birth again in this material world. Of course, because Bhakti burns our aprarabdha karma as well as it can burn our prarabdha karma also, and it burns our ignorance, we stop committing more sins and we get a milder reaction for whatever sins that we have committed in the past so many lifetimes. But it doesn't mean that devotees are immune to the miseries of this material world. So when Rahuguna is saying, now I am free from all these problems, he is talking about his ignorance here. Ignorance which binds one to the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. So, we see that Jadabharat is seeing the sincerity of Maharaj Rahuguna and he is saying that, no, let me instruct him more now. Because he is a good patra, he is a good listener. So, in Bhagavad Gita, we know the famous verse, Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sthataiva bhajamyaham. The Lord reciprocates in proportion to our surrender. The Lord sees, okay, this devotee is serious, so let me reciprocate him with more. This principle is also true for devotees. Devotees also do ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sthataiva bhajamyaham. So, whenever devotees see sincerity and humility, these two qualities are very important for a disciple. Sincerity and humility. When in a sincere mode, a disciple inquires, you know, with humility, humble inquiry, what we call this, the spiritual master realizes that here is a person who is not, you know, doing time pass with me, who really wants to change himself. He's not just wasting time, his own time and my time also. So let me take this, let me give more instructions to this particular devotee. So, devotees, when they see sincerity, senior devotees, advanced devotees, Siksha gurus, Diksha gurus, they pour out their heart and share their deep-rooted realizations when they see sincerity in the disciple. So, in the ladder from Shraddha to Prema, this association, Sadhu Sangha, is the second step in this entire ladder. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhav and Prem. So it's second in the ladder. So this association, the power of this association is what Srila Prabhupada is talking about in his purports. Prabhupada says that association with pure devotees certainly frees one from the material clutches. Certainly frees one. With so much confidence Prabhupada is writing here. And Prabhupada says even a dull-headed disciple is enlightened with spiritual knowledge. So it doesn't mean this tells us that devotional, entering devotional life, there is no entry criteria. Anyone can enter into devotional life, even a dull-headed person. If you have to go to Harvard Business School to study law or management, then what happens? They'll assess all your marks throughout your university and what extracurricular activities you have done, what leadership you have shown, there's a whole lot of what references do you have. But do we do that? If Krishna started doing that, give me a reference. Gone. There itself gone. And what references can we give? Our teenage years, references of those. So we don't have any reference, right? So And what intelligence did we have? When we came to devotions, the only intelligent decision that we ever took was coming into bhakti. Though we were otherwise dull-headed. But as one puts oneself in the fire of bhakti, the dull-headedness goes away gradually. Bhakti purifies the intelligence of a dull-headed person. That is the power of bhakti. So, this association leads us through the most difficult stage of out of all the stages, which is the stage which we are all in, which is anartha nivritti stage. It will take us through this. Association will take us through this very, very difficult stage. Now, Jadabharat is instructing this importance of association to Maharaj, is giving his association to Maharaj Raghuna, and Prabhupada is reminding us that this is the power of association, by which Maharaj Raghuna's doubts are gone away and then he is now becoming free of all his problems. In fact, two lifetimes before Jadabharat, in his own life, his father, Lord Rishabhdev, also had called his 100 sons and instructed them about the goal of life. And in those instructions, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2, a beautiful verse comes. Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes Tamodvaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam Mahantaste Samachitta Prashantaha Vimanya Suhrida Sadhavo Ye. Very beautiful verse from his father two lifetimes before. What is the meaning of that? It says that one can attain relief from material bondage by association with exalted devotees. So the son is repeating two lifetimes later whatever the father said. Why this association is important with pure devotees? Because pure devotees are non-envious. They do not have material anger in them. They are non-envious. They exist only for the true welfare or well-being of others. Therefore, they are able to deliver people. But in order to associate with these devotees, one needs to have little bit of awe and reverence to these devotees. That one quality we have to always maintain with senior devotees. Awe and reverence is required. Current flows only when there is potential difference. When there is no potential difference, current will not flow. Water will only flow from a higher level to a lower level. If you make the level ground, then water will stop flowing. It will just remain where it is. What to speak of, we make ourselves higher. Right. So therefore, in front of exalted personalities, it's very, very important. Not only that, in front of senior devotees, in front of every devotee, in fact, if we can do that, it's very good. What is that? In front of every devotee, we humble ourselves. It's the best. But it is easier said than done. So, if we accept authority, and if the senior devotee sees that he is accepting, he or she is accepting my authority, then they are willing to give us instructions. If we do not accept the authority, then nobody will bother to instruct us. So, in spiritual life, we progress by constantly accepting the seniority of other devotees, and that is how we propel ourselves. That is actually good for us. So, that is why out of the ABCD, this is A. Association is first. Then Bhagavatam, chanting and diet or deity worship. Now, there are various examples of devotees cherishing the treasure of association. One vivid example that comes to mind is Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj himself was Shakti Avashavatar. Prithu Maharaj wanted to do 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. 99 he did. 99 out of 100. And the one Indra out of envy took away the horse. And he didn't allow him. But Lord Vishnu is the bestower of all blessings. We think that we are the doer. By our sacrifice, things will happen. But Lord Vishnu assured Prithu Maharaj, saying that don't worry. At the end of the day, I am the one who gives benefit of all activities. So, if 99 is equal to 100 plus, don't worry. Let Indra do whatever he wants. Like that. You don't get perturbed. And Prithu Maharaj listened to the Lord. Prithu Maharaj would have argued with the Lord. But he listened to the Lord with faith. And then, the Lord was so pleased because Prithu Maharaj put his common sense and Prithu Maharaj was not dull-headed, but I am talking in our context. We put our dull-headed brain aside and simply put faith in the instruction of higher authorities. For that, Lord Vishnu rewarded him with all the benefits. What was the reward? Position of Indra? No. That was not the reward. What is the reward for a devotee? Devotee doesn't want that anyway.
Lord Vishnu gave him instructions on the science of self-realization. Lord Vishnu personally gave him instructions on bhakti. And with those instructions, Prithu Maharaj ruled as a Rajarishi, as a highly realized king. And then at the end of those instructions, which Lord Vishnu gave to Prithu Maharaj, he asked Prithu Maharaj, "You have been hearing so patiently, what benediction can I give you now? What blessing can I give you?" In fact, the Lord was willing to give Kaivalya. Come back to the spiritual world, etc., etc. Kaivalya Moksha. So, Prithu Maharaj, what did he ask? He said, "I do not want your Kaivalya. If you have to give me any blessing, give me the association of your pure devotees." That is what Prithu Maharaj himself is asking now. So that is an example of where we see even exalted personalities cherishing the treasure of association. Now, what is the benefit of association? In Jaya Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that the meaning of dharma, dharma is the intrinsic nature or swabhava of a vastu. It is the intrinsic nature of an object, of a vastu. What is the intrinsic nature of the spirit soul? To flow towards the Lord. Just like the intrinsic nature of water is to flow. But when water is kept in an artificial condition in the refrigerator, it becomes ice. Therefore, water has to be restored to its natural condition. But if water, the water wants to remain in the fridge itself, somebody has to open the fridge, take the water out of the fridge, keep it in the sunlight, and then water will become water. It will start flowing. This is the power of association. Devotees, help us get into the fire of bhakti so that we, our dharma is restored. Prabhupada says Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition of the mind. Krishna consciousness is not out there. It is within us. All we have to do is, water has become ice now. By putting us in the fire of association, then naturally you will realize your intrinsic constitutional position, which is our dharma. To flow towards the Lord spontaneously, without any external impetus. Internally, our dharma itself is to flow towards the Lord. So, in 18.73, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjun also commented on very similar to what Rahuguna is commenting today. After hearing the entire Bhagavad Gita, 18.73, he says, Labdha Smriti. Arjun says that, "Thank you, Lord, for your instructions. Because of that, now I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt. And I am prepared to act on your instruction," which is to fight the battle. So, regaining one's lost consciousness, getting free from all these doubts and anarthas, is the benefit of association. Because consciousness, as we said, our consciousness, that is our the intrinsic nature of the soul, is to flow towards the Lord. But the soul has to come back into its pristine original consciousness to flow towards the Lord. Now, this consciousness is the platform of attachment. So, contaminated consciousness is attached to, it means attachment to matter. And pure consciousness is attached to Krishna. That is because we are tathashta, we are marginal potency. We have a choice at all points in time, which side to go. So, when we choose to surrender to the internal energy, then we progress towards the Lord. When we choose to surrender to Maya, then we go away from the Lord and foolishly try to engage in lower tastes in life. So here is why association is very important. Because association and attachment, they are very, very integral to each other. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami, all of us know, escaped from the prison. And he ran towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he came to Varanasi, Chandrasekhar Saraswati was at the doorstep. And he opened the door. And there was Sanatana Goswami, standing in a very, he was completely bedraggled. I would say he was like an avaduta, he was standing in front of Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu could see the humility of Sanatana Goswami. He could see the sincerity of Sanatana Goswami. Therefore, Mahaprabhu did not wait. He started instructing Sanatana Goswami. He was very happy with him. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, from around the 20th chapter onwards, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatana Goswami
in the principles of the absolute truth in bhakti. As a part of that instruction comes a very beautiful verse which all of you have heard. Smartavya satatam Vishnu vismartavyo na jatuchit sarve vidhi nishedasyu etayo eva kinkaraha. Beautiful verse by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any point in time. Never forget Krishna. That is what Rupa Goswami also said. Highest rule is always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. All the rules and prohibitions that are mentioned in the Shastras are servants of these two principles. They are subordinate to this. So if that is very important, remembrance of the Lord is important. When do we remember the Lord? Only in the association of devotees. Even in the morning, when we forget Krishna. Let us say someone forgets Krishna in the morning. Then what happens? Jayara. Jay Krishna. Somewhere or the other devotees remind you. Right? Something is happening. Okay? Mangalarti. Even if you have slept till Mangalarti, got up late, still, and then when you get up late, then you obviously know we are in a different consciousness. Then at least this Bhagavatam reminds us. Like that. So, or when we walk on the road, we have forgotten about Lord, especially in office. We are in passion, but lunchtime we stepped out, and then some devotee comes. And what if we see a Harinam party? We are reminded of the Lord. So, this is the power of association. Anything that aids remembrance of us, Mahaprabhu says, is very important. And association is the most important aspect of that remembrance. In fact, from childhood to death, we need association. These children so nicely recited the verse today. Very beautifully, they understood the meter so nicely. They recited. Now, what is behind these children? How have they reached this stage? Of course, like the other devotees, I also believe, you know, previous lifetime, but association again. In this lifetime also, from wherever they took off, association is what is now taking them ahead. Association of devotees. So in childhood, we need association. In teenage, we need association more so. Most difficult part of life for who? Children also. Immediately you said parents. For children as well as parents, most difficult part. So there, absolutely, devotee association, very, very important. And at the time of death, important. And even after death, important. Today morning, I received news, my cousin left his body. He was hardly 39, 40, COVID. Okay. This is not an age to leave. He had no children, thankfully no children. And I have actually played with him. I used to play with him in my childhood. Very, I was attached to him. But this morning I just woke up and I saw his message had come at around 1:30. So what to do? This is how life is. But the only thing that I always actually want, this boy was a very good boy. He was a very nice boy. Okay. But I could not meet him very often in my life. He went somewhere else. You know, I was somewhere else. But he was one person in the family who actually I was thinking one day I will have the opportunity to give him Krishna consciousness. He is gone. So today I just prayed for him at home. Like that. So what to do? That is how it is. But at least in his death, today when I was singing Jai Ram Madhava, I was thinking about him only. In the time, I was just singing 2 minutes back, I was praying for him. I was telling him that may this Bhagavatam class, Lord, please give him some benefit out of this. Because he's a nice boy. Hopefully in his next lifetime, he becomes a devotee. That's my sincere prayer for my cousin. So, we need association. Devotees have to pray for us. Then we get at least, we have some hope. Otherwise, next lifetime again we will be born, again we will go. What is the point? Mrityu samsara vatmani. So, Chaitanya Charitamrit, Lord Chaitanya and Ramanand Rai are having another conversation. Mahaprabhu is asking Ramanand Rai, what is the most painful kind of suffering? This is COVID suffering which we talked about, but what is the most painful kind of suffering? So Ramanand Rai says that I know of nothing more unbearable than separation from the devotees of Krishna. Ramanand Rai is saying that. I know of nothing which is more unbearable than separation from the devotees of Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya says, what is the most auspicious and beneficial activity for the living entity? Mahaprabhu is asking, he's probing him. And then Amananda Raya says, there is nothing more auspicious than association with devotees of Krishna. There is nothing more auspicious than that in this whole world, than association with devotees. Finally, Lord Chaitanya tells him, only if individual spirit souls can have the knowledge, please hear carefully, only if the individual spirit souls can have the knowledge that they are interrelated. Please hear carefully this one. Mahaprabhu is saying this. Only if individual spirit souls, which means all of us, can have the knowledge that we are all interrelated with loving relation, this forest of fire, of clashing of interests will stop. Forest of fire, clashing interests. This is very interesting. Mahaprabhu says this because Mahaprabhu knew that even devotees will fight with one another. So we have to understand our interrelation of loving relation. Therefore, now, so that is Mahaprabhu's teachings. Let us come to Rupa Goswami's, what he is saying. Rupa Goswami put the association in two different perspectives. It's very interesting. In Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami gives two verses. One talks about favorable and unfavorable aspect of association. So he says, in one verse he says, Janasangascha Lavalyamcha. And then in another verse, next verse he says, Sangatyaga Satovritte. So this is one commonality between both. What can take your bhakti high and what can put your bhakti down? So he gives two spectrum, two sides of the coin. So Sangha means association, but Sangha also means attachment. Because whatever we associate with, we get attached to that. Now, he is cautioning us at the outset about association with worldly minded people. That is why he says, Janasangascha Lavalyamcha. Janasangha means association of worldly minded people. Now, these worldly minded people are very dangerous because for them matter is everything. Their goal of life is enjoy life. That's all. Live life king size and die, I don't know what size, insignificantly, right? So now they have these people have no idea of spiritual life, so they don't have any knowledge about what is the goal of life. So associating with such people is very dangerous for us. I remember my childhood, I was very shy. Okay, I had a fear of public speaking. Okay. I was very, very shy. So I remember, very many, many years later when I was in engineering, somebody forcefully, one of my cousin sisters, she was a faculty in this college where I studied. So she dragged me by the neck and said, you have to participate in a debating competition. So then I was scared. First time in life, so many people, everyone looking at you like this. What to say? Then I had scripted something and I was going on reading. I read the whole essay. And then my cousin sister, she was saying, very nice, very nice. But obviously, I didn't get the prize. Who will get prize just for reading? It was very, right? But at least, it gave me an idea of, it gave me an exposure to speaking. Now, why did I say this? It's because by nature, I was very shy. But there was one positive aspect to my shyness. One benefit of my shyness, which I had since childhood, was that I'll not talk much with girls. Okay. So when I entered engineering college, I never used to talk. In fact, what happened, because my cousin was a faculty in the sense, she was an administration person. So a lot of students knew her, even the girl students. So one day she invited all the girl students she had cooked something and she invited. And I was also at home. You know what I did? I locked myself in my bedroom and I refused to come out of the room because I was so shy of speaking to them. Okay, I was so shy. I didn't come out at all. Of course, that was a bit, they must have thought it was rude. Your college school madam, I see them every day in college. But I was so shy. What will happen? Now, of course, that was, I would say that that was not very good. In terms of etiquette, it was not good. At least I could have invited them and served them. But my shyness, but one thing was that it kept me protected. It kept me protected. Little bit of that shyness was good. It had a positive aspect also. Big positive aspect, I would say. But then what happened in my life? There was one guy who came, he was a Catholic boy, he was my best friend, unfortunately, in college at that time. Right? Okay. So I won't say the name, But this guy came in my life. And he became, and slowly my association started increasing. Okay. Now this guy was an out and out other extreme. Out and out other extreme. So he asked me, what's your name? I said, Jagannatha. What name is this? I will tell you his first name. I will not tell you his second name. Otherwise you will Google and find out. His name was Reynold. Okay. Reynold. He was my best friend. Okay. So he said, you should have a name like me. He said, David Charles. What Jagannatha? And then he said, your name is like Annamalai. Anna. And you know what? My mother used to, in childhood, I've been used to combing my hair the way my mother taught me. Like that. My mother used to catch my face. Used to comb like that. Put a lot of coconut oil. So I used to go to college like that. Coconut oil and my plastic shoe I used to wear and go. Like that. And then the side locks, normal side locks and all that. So he told me, hey, if you be like that, nobody, you will not succeed in life. I will change you. So he did a complete, in consulting, we call it as business process re-engineering. Approved the whole business process. Like that. Digital transformation. Completely. He told me, first thing you come to me, I'll give you lessons. You don't wear these pants. You have to wear baggy pants. And he introduced me to baggy pants. The baggy pant was there that time. So I told where to buy this from. He said, I'll give you. I took his actually trouser and I told my father that I want this only. The father said, hey, where did this request come from suddenly? Right. Then he told me, don't comb like this, like Annamalai. You have to have center parting like that. And then you should buff like this. Like this. And then he told me, don't use comb. Comb is all for, Kanishta ji guys. I don't mean that brush, that round brush, like that. You should roll your hair like that. And then he also taught me, after you finish rolling, after you dry, you should fly like that. So, complete re-engineering. Then he told me, come on, you should drag me. He said, come on, go and talk to the girl. I challenge you. And then I actually did that. Okay. And then I realized, after 2 years, my mother, had to worry about me. So what is going on? This guy is all around the place now in college. Right? So I know that this is a little bit off the way, but this is what it was. In fact, I'll tell you what, I never took meat in my life. But the first time he introduced me, he told me, take chicken, man. So I tasted one. I regret it today, even today. After that, I stopped actually. But I didn't even like it on him. He said, you start liking, man. Come on, be a man. He introduced me to cigarette. Okay. Thankfully, I didn't get the habit. But the first puff I took because of him. He said, take this. And he also told me how to stand. How to stand with it in the left hand. You should have it like that. Not right hand. Left hand is more like that. One leg should be on the wall like that. Behind. One leg standing like that and like that. Like a model you should stand. So many things. I was not aware of all these things. He said, this is when girls will think you're cool. Like that. And then just flick it like that a little bit. And just look thoughtful and all that. We are fool dull-headed. But externally, this will be attractive to other foolish girls who are there. Cool boy. Like that. But we know what it will lead to eventually. Right? Even not smoking itself leads to lung cancer. What to speak of smoking. Right? So, this material world is like that. If we get one such association, that is why I understand that verse completely. What is that verse? Na tatascha bhaven moho bandascha anya prasangatah yoshit sangha yata punso yata tat sanghi sangata. Beautiful verse. Completely I understand what that verse means. More dangerous than attraction to women is attraction to a man who is very fond of women. Because by his association I got fond of it. Otherwise I was not. I had nothing to do with ladies. Right? So this is very, very dangerous. So Rupa Goswami is telling us, Jana Sangascha Lauliamcha, please stay away from this association. And not only for me, all those people who have young children, especially teenage children, this is the biggest risk that can happen. The girl can get attracted to the completely wrong boy and ruin her life. The boy can get completely swept off his feet by the lure of attraction to the opposite sex. This is our number one problem. As sadhakas as well as parents. And maybe as grandparents also. This anxiety will be there. Right? So therefore,
Rupa Goswami warns us that this will finish our bhakti. It will take us completely in a different direction in our life. Now that is one kind of association. Another kind of association is also there. You know, for devotees who are starting their spiritual life, who don't have complete knowledge. Kanishtha Adhikari means low in faith and low in knowledge also. This is the association of pseudo-spiritualists. Extremely dangerous. Pseudo-spiritualists. Because these pseudo-spiritualists, even if they speak Harikatha in the garb of devotees, it is utter nonsense and it is not beneficial at all for us. It is not beneficial in developing Prema Bhakti. For example, I was hearing a class where one devotee was saying that he had a chance encounter with another person who gave him a book saying that I have written Bhagavad Gita. This person was not devotee at all. Was a philosopher, speculator kind of person. I want your blessings. So please read it and tell me. So he said, I marked everywhere, nonsense. And I gave him the book. You wouldn't have spoken to the devotee ever again, I think. Nonsense. Why? Because it says, in the there itself, the first thing itself, Lord Krishna has been defined as the akar which came from the nirakar. The person who came from the impersonal. Even our children will know this in Islam. Who comes? Impersonal comes first or personal comes first? Very good. See, Pari is answering immediately. What Pari knows, that philosopher did not know. He is saying that nirakar, from nirakar comes from akar. When Brahman, nirakar, comes in contact with material energy captures Brahman and makes forms out of which Krishna has come. This is, therefore he wrote nonsense, the commentary. Retract the book. This is trash. It needs to be thrown in a dustbin. No use. So, therefore, we need association. Whose association saved us? The association of Srila Prabhupada through his books. Otherwise, simply reading Sanskrit, what will we understand? So, Bhagavad Gita 7.24 clearly says, unintelligent men who know me not think that I have assumed this form and personality. Krishna has not assumed this personality because he, you know, Brahman came in contact. No. So they, these people misinterpret the scriptures. Krishna says, Brahmanohi Pratishtha Aham. I am the source of Brahman. Where is the question of me being subjugated by material energy and my source being Brahman? That is never said in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna never spoke like that. But we need Bhagavad Gita as it is to understand that. Not what as it is. Or what it, someone wants it to be. Like that. Someone's imagination wants Bhagavad Gita to be. So, they either misinterpret this, that is another type of Janasangha association, or they mundanize it, that is even more irritating, mundanizing the word. I heard in one class that someone was talking about Krishna, saying that Lord Krishna was very great. Actually, the whole Lord Krishna's incarnation was how to take from the rich people and give to poor people. That is the biggest lesson of Lord Krishna. Now this is called as mundanizing everything, right? Worst, the commentary was that Lord Krishna saw that in Vrindavan, the gopis were having lot of butter. There was excess supply and it was being stored and hoarded in their house, which is not good. You should never hoard something. You should give it to poor people. So Krishna realized that these people, these rascals are storing butter in their house. So he used to take it and give it to all the poor people. This is the interpretation of Makan Leela. Now, is it not, your blood pressure, I'm sure, is going up when you hear this, right? So, it is extremely irritating. So, association with all this, and then recently also, I don't want to say, but all of you know, no, someone spoke something so demeaning about Krishna's relationship with Mother Yashoda. I'm sure all of you have heard this. A commentary of someone who is very well revered and respected in India right now. So, he has absolutely no idea about Rasatattva. Probably an impersonalist himself, just because of his popularity, he thinks that he can get away with anything that he can speak. And very irresponsibly, he made a very, very demeaning comment about the relationship between Yashoda and Krishna. So obviously, this is called as what? And the whole world is, you know, in this false association with such a personality. He may be doing other great things socially, but the biggest welfare to some living entity of connecting that person with the Lord, he has failed there. So what is the point, right?
And so many people will now go with that conception about this divine relationship, right? So therefore, we have to be very careful. Jana sangascha gaulyamcha. These people can completely derail us. So we have to understand that this association, it actually decides the direction of the movement of our life. At every step, we need course correction. It is said that when a flight travels towards its destination, most of the time the flight is off course. So you must have seen in that video, when you see that, what is a flight tracker? It says that the aircraft, suddenly the nose is going like this. So that is what association does in our life. Because every single day, we also go like this. And association either through personal contact with devotees or through hearing from devotees keeps on correcting our course. In fact, we are doing the 11th canto with Kesha Prabhu in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We are almost completing the 11th canto now. We have finished Uddhava Gita. There is a beautiful verse there. And it's a key memory verse for us. Okay, so I will not say the Sanskrit, but the English translation says that this human form of life is extremely rare. But it automatically is awarded to us because of our karma. It is rare, but it anyway comes automatically to us. It is said that this material body, human body, should be considered like a perfectly constructed boat. And the spiritual master is its karnadhar. Karnadhar means captain. The spiritual master is the captain of this boat. And the instructions of the Lord through the scriptures are the favorable winds which impel the boat on its course. So therefore, a person who does not take advantage of this body, a person who does not take advantage of this association of exalted personalities, a person who does not take advantage of scriptures, Guru, Shadu, Shastra, it is said such a person is to be considered as Atmaha, killer of the soul. So this is a very beautiful point that comes across in Uddhava Gita itself. In terms of the power of bhakti to change the course or direction of our life, the third canto, 25.25, very beautiful verse there again. Satam prasangat mama virya samvida bhavanti rit karna rasayana katha tat joshanat asu apavarga vartmani shraddha vratir bhaktir anukrameshyati. Very nice verse. It says that satam prasangat, in the association of devotees only you can discuss Krishna katha. Who else is available outside to discuss Krishna with us? Our boss? Right. Who will discuss Krishna Katha with us? Right? It is only in association of devotees you can. And what happens when Bhavanti Hrit Karna Rasayana Katha, when this Rasayana Katha, when this beautiful Katha enters the holes of our Hrit Karna, goes from our ears into our heart. What happens? Tad Joshanad Asu Apavargavartmani. Immediately, Asu means very quickly, it transports us to Apavargavartmani, which means beyond the realms of material world. Immediately it transports us. And then what happens? As we continue ourselves keeping in the fire of this association of Krishna Katha, Shraddha, our faith keeps on increasing, Rati, taste comes, and eventually Prema Bhakti comes. Shraddha, Ratir, Bhaktir, Anukramishyati. In the sequence it comes like that. This is the power of association. On the contrary, in Bhagavad Gita 9.3, the exact opposite is said by Lord Krishna. He says, Ashraddhana Purusha. He talks about those people who are not faithful. He says, Ashraddhana Purusha, Dharmasya Isyasya Parantapa, Aprapyamam Nivartante, Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. So on one hand we have Apavarga Vartmani, owing to that kind of association, and on the other hand, owing to lower association, you have Mrityu Samsara Vartmani, which means trapped in the cycle of birth and death. So the association of devotees is very important, because it's only devotees who will cut our ignorance. Sadhu means to cut. Sadhu will speak cuttingly. So we can see in this section, Jadabharata is not giving some, you know, goody-goody instructions. You are good, I am good, you are okay, I am okay, it's a secular world, you are fine, I am fine, everybody is fine, sarva sukhina bhavantu. No. He is simply giving him slaps after slaps, you know, with his instruction. Because that is how a sadhu is. A sadhu has to cut. A sadhu is known as Vedavit, who knows the conclusion of Vedic knowledge. Who knows that everything in this world is a perverted reflection of that which is perfectly manifested in the spiritual world. Because in this world, bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanti. Krishna bhakta nishkam atayeva shanta. The karmis are disgusted. Okay, if everyone is trying to enjoy material life, everything is stopped. Their holiday plans are stopped. People have lost their job because of COVID. People don't know whether they will survive also next day. In India, no one knows whether they will live next day also. Right now, it is so bad, the situation. And I'm sure in many other parts of the world. So people have now come into this understanding. They are disgusted with this material life. But they don't have an alternative. They don't know what to do. They don't know that, yes, there is a spiritual life. Simply disgust with material life, with no knowledge of spiritual life, is you are worse off than your attachment to material life. At least you are enjoying material life. But with association of devotees, we get the other side, that there is a spiritual world. That is the beauty of association. Even the jnanis are frustrated with impersonal relationship. They get bored of Brahman eventually. Right? So Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 15.3, he says, Asanga Shastrena Dhridena Chitva. By the weapon of detachment, we have to cut this tree of attachment to the material world. And how that will happen? Again, another verse is there. He says, it will not come automatically. Prasangam ajaram pasam atmano kavyogidu. Sa eva sadhu shukrito moksha dwaram apavratam. By attachment to devotees, what will happen? The door to liberation will gradually open. So you have to only dovetail. Attachment is the very nature of a soul. We cannot not be attached. Right? We have to just direct that attachment into saintly personalities. We have to increase our love and affection for every single devotee. Then we can go back to Godhead. Even if we have Vanda, Lafada with one devotee, we cannot go back to Godhead. Everything is okay in the congregation. It is only that rascal, you know, who I could not get along with. Okay. Can you tell this to Krishna? Krishna says, okay, exception approved, granted. Only one teacher. No way. Because what will happen, like once Anandanda and Rupa was hearing the lecture, when we go there with this consciousness, we will pollute there also. Krishna says, I took this fellow on exception. He is, you know, he has created his own groups here also now. Everybody is rebelling now. So we cannot enter the spiritual world unless we become trustworthy in our character. So we cannot have ill feelings towards any one devotee. Now, though we get all these instructions, though we ISKCON provides us such wonderful association, why do we fail to progress despite availability of this association? One is because we don't realize the importance of what we have. Sometimes when you get something, you don't realize the importance of it. Only when it goes away, then you realize. Right? For example, one Mataji, a few days back, she was telling me, Prabhuji, what problem? Look at my child, you know. They come to the temple in the morning and then, you know, paying obeisances, Prabhuji, they should stand like this for some time at least, you know, and take darshan of deities like this. And then, Prabhuji, they are just coming, taking darshan like that, they are paying obeisances and going out and playing in the courtyard. Now, that is a big problem for the Mataji. What about those children who have gone out of Krishna consciousness? Okay. So, we take for granted these things. We do not appreciate the children for the small things that they do. Rather, we keep on hammering them for those 10 other things which they do not do. So, when we look back at higher problems, you will realize that there are many things in our kids that we are worth appreciating actually. So, sometimes we take granted for something that we have in our life. And that is when it goes away. We take that for granted. And we don't appreciate and we don't give gratitude to the community which is fostering these children. And we start becoming proud that we are the ones who are responsible for their welfare. So it takes a whole community to cultivate someone. It whole takes hundreds and hundreds of devotees to make one person a devotee. So it's a whole ecosystem that is working, not in isolation. So both sides of the spectrum. So if they remain devotees, don't become proud. If they go out, give them, try to keep bringing them into the association of devotees. This is our only hope. Whichever way, association is our only hope for ourselves as well as for our children. There is no other hope. So, not realizing the importance of satsang. For example, Keshav Prabhu was mentioning in our class that There are so many educational programs that are going on here. We have Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibha. People have an opportunity to study in this lifetime systematically, but people will not, are not taking advantage of these courses. We think that we can just sit at home and study Bhagavad Gita on our own, Bhagavatam on our own. But actually Bhagavatam has to be studied in the association of devotees. Personally, it has helped me. Again, I have told this many times before also. I wouldn't have studied Bhagavatam but for the mercy of His Grace Keshav Prabhu, who comes from the farm. He has been coming from the farm since the last 10-12 years plus. Every Monday and Tuesday. What a dedication. He is coming from the farm all the time. For me, going to the farm and driving, especially in the night time, I get scared every time. That fog light, oh, he's off, I can't see anything. What if the car breaks down? He has been doing it, God knows, for so many years. So, we have to take advantage. Someone is coming to give us, you know, this knowledge. So, these scriptures have to be studied systematically. They are not for casual reading. Prabhupada, I have finished. I am studying at home, I am doing. I understand. No. Prabhupada said, there must be exams. People study and people write exams. Even Gopalanda Prabhu is doing that. So why can't we do that? Gopalanda Prabhu, we all understand, is one of the most shastrically, you know, knowledgeable persons in our congregation. Even he has done that. So why we should not do it like that? So we have to take advantage of these courses. We have to commit ourselves to study Bhagavatam. Of course, there are some people who are there who are very, very committed. I know of some people in the congregation, many people, who they will study regularly despite no one being behind them. But I knew that I was not that category. I know how I passed my engineering and other things. Before the last day, 2-3 kicks were there. Association of like-minded. Satsang we used to have before, you know, every exam. You study chapter 1, you study chapter 2, you study chapter 3. Because we have not studied and we realize, you know, time is late. So therefore, if we don't study now, take shelter of the scriptures, it is not going to happen later on sometime. Nothing. Especially with COVID around, we don't know who will go. Right? So, but by studying these scriptures under senior devotees, one thing will happen. It happens. We develop an innate disposition. Please hear carefully. We develop an innate disposition as to for whose pleasure we are doing every activity. If we only do seva, seva, seva without study of the shastras, then that seva will make us proud. Because seva will give us lot of tangible benefits also. People can see us running with buckets up and down. Right? People can see us doing, sweeping the courtyard. I'm not saying that should not be done. It should be done. There's no doubt about it. Okay? But seva only can make us proud. What if we become very good at our seva? Then what happens? We start expecting that we start being recognized as a senior most person, as a go-to person with respect to that seva. So seva without the correct shastric understanding can make us arrogant and proud, and that can ruin our relationship with other devotees because we start looking down. Therefore both have to go, and then only study without seva is useless anyway, because the goal of all study is to serve. So both have to go hand in hand. And this is where the association of senior devotees, we will do the course correction. Are we tending more towards this side or are we tending towards more? There has to be a balance between both. Between sadhana and, between study and seva. Good balance has to be there. So, in 11.2.47, there is a beautiful verse. Acharyam eva haraye pujam iha shraddha yehate natad bhakteshu chanyeshu sa bhakta prakrita smritaha. A devotee who faithfully engages in the worship of the deity in the temple but does not behave properly towards other devotees or people in general is called as a prakrita bhakta, a neophyte devotee, a materialistic devotee, and is considered to be in the lowest position if our behavior with other devotees is not good. So this tendency only goes if we allow ourselves to be corrected by other more advanced devotees who have no other business in chastising us than our real welfare. So therefore, when we put ourselves in the fire of association with people who are more advanced than us, then we become more introspective. We recognize that I also have faults in myself. And then when we realize our anarthas and try to improve, then we will see that our relationship with other devotees, our trust with other devotees also increasing. So we have to take advantage. To conclude, I will quote something very interesting which was said by Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj about association, especially in ISKCON. Very beautiful analogy he has given. Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj said,
that ISKCON is the marketplace of association.
It is a marketplace. Here is where we get association. Right? In Victoria Market, we get that. No, what is that? Fresh vegetables. You know, everyone rushes there. South Melbourne Market. $2, $2, $2. Everyone is rushing there at 3 o'clock. Right? So here we get Harinam for $0. Free we get. Free prasadam, free association. Right?
So, he said, here is the marketplace of association. He said, this is the embassy of the spiritual world. The temple is the embassy of the spiritual world. Hmm? Why embassy? Because it is said that the American embassy, if it is in Bombay, for example, the moment you enter the embassy, what happens? You are governed by the rules and regulations of United States of America.
Even if someone kills someone inside the embassy, you will be tried in an American court, not in an Indian court. That is the embassy. Hmm?
That embassy completely upholds the culture of the original country. Correct? And an embassy is not endorsed as an embassy till the ambassador of that country comes and endorses, saying that this is a bona fide embassy of my country.
The ambassador from that country has to come.
So who is that ambassador for us? Srila Prabhupada. The ambassador of the spiritual world has come and established these temples. So these temples, and Prabhupada said, even when he entered this place, Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir, what did he say? This is Vaikuntha.
So an ambassador has said, this is the spiritual world for all of us, right?
So this is the power of association. So Srila Prabhupada, that's why Bhakti Swami Maharaj said, this is like an embassy of the spiritual world. We may have different natures. We may have different ideas of how to execute devotional service. But we focus on the commonalities. What are the commonalities? We sing the same songs.
Nobody says, okay, we should sing Bollywood songs in the temple. No, nobody will say that.
Everyone is focused on commonalities. Okay. What is that in Brahma Samhita? What is that? Ganam Natyam. It says, no? That towards the end. The children will know. I don't know. I don't know Bhagavad Gita by heart, but I am sure all of you know. Okay. So, Ganam, Natyam, Gamanam, whatever we sing, whatever we dance, whatever food we eat, whatever speech we do, is all what the way it is done in the spiritual. At least we should do that. But our teachings are that, definitely. So, this is an embassy of the spiritual world. And also, we know how to recognize imitations. That is why these ambassadors have to come and endorse. Okay. So, we know that this temple is coming in disciplic succession. So, it is a bona fide place. So, Bhaktidev Maharaj mentioned an interesting point. He said that in the Western world, in the churches, so much politics happened in the search that people started saying that let us spend some time outside the church to get relief from politics. Now, how does that sound to you? To get relief from politics. So, we must ensure that we don't make ISKCON like that. So that people go outside for relief. So, it's very important to maintain the sanctity of this embassy. So, Srila Prabhupada in Nectar of Devotion writes, to conclude, he writes that what we do in this place is very, very important. What we do in ISKCON is very, very important. It is not a physical structure, not even the deities. ISKCON is the association. The real shelter in ISKCON, it comes from the association of devotees. In serving together, we will find our real shelter. So that's why Rupa Goswami talks about six loving exchanges between devotees. Dadati pratigranati, guhyam akhyati prachati. Bhukte bhojate chaiva, sadvida priti lakshanam. Six loving exchanges. So if devotees do not find these six loving exchanges within this body of association of ISKCON, then devotees will go out. They will be like a hospital. Some certain things may be, you know, the fan may not be working in the hospital, right? The receptionist, the desk may be broken. But in this hospital, the medicine works. Of Harinam, which we give to people. The medicine of Prasadam works. The medicine of Srila Prabhupada's books work. They will solve the problems of our life. Like, he's saying, now I am freed from all these problems. No? Rahuguna is saying. So, this medicine will give us that. So, we have to take this medicine. If we ruin ISKCON by our own behavior, then what will happen? We will see that devotees are coming in but many are going out. So we have a responsibility that no one should leave ISKCON because of us. That will be the biggest disservice to Srila Prabhupada. So we must take association
And by that, we must become qualified to give our association to also to others, so that others, by our example, are encouraged to stay within ISKCON. So, Maharaj Raghuguna is very, very fortunate here that he is having an association of Jad Bharat, who is instructing him here on this science of self-realization. The love inside the heart of one devotee is the reason for the love inside the heart of another devotee. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that in Madhurya Padamini. So, the love which is in Jad Bharat's heart for Lord Krishna is now being slowly transferred into Maharaj Raghuguna's heart, and that is why Maharaj Raghuguna is saying, I am seeing that I am getting free from all my problems. So, this is the essence of Sadhu Sangha. Raghuguna was extremely fortunate to have association of Jad Bharat, but we are even more fortunate than Raghuguna, because we have so many exalted sannyasis and Vanaprastha devotees in ISKCON who are all having the same consciousness and mission and purpose as Jad Bharat had. They have given up, dedicated their lives for spreading Krishna consciousness. They are traveling at a high risk of getting COVID. Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, he did not stop. He said no COVID can stop. He went. So this is their mood. They don't care for their own lives. Their only mission is, how can I continue my welfare work to the world by giving this mission? So we have many, many Jad Bharats in that sense. So we are very more fortunate than Maharaj Raghuguna was. So let us, the instruction to all of us is that let us also take this association and free ourselves of our problems. And we should also say someday, now I am free from all problems. When will that day come? That is our meditation. I'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Mantrashi Mangagatam Ki Jai. Any questions, comments? Yes. I always get tired of your questions because I don't know the answers to this question. Okay. You may ask. You want mic?
Thank you for the nice class, Prabhuji. My question is that you said that bhakti is unmotivated. When we do bhakti, we are supposed to be unmotivated and non-selfish, but we see like in COVID, because of COVID, everyone's dying. So we pray to Krishna so that they get a benefit. So is that okay, or is that like asking something for material benefit?
You had asked a similar question to me last class, I remember. Okay, so I'll repeat the answer. I remember, this is a good question. Wait, thank you for asking. Praying for protection of the body is not outside the realm of pure bhakti also. And I had explained last time also this. Anya abhilashita shunyam. So, Rupa Goswami explains at the very outside that if you are praying to the Lord for self-preservation, that is not excluded from the realm of pure bhakti. So, you can continue praying for people who are suffering from COVID-19. You can pray for the recovery of people in this world. So that is just an act of compassion. Why do we pray? Because Vaishnava is para dukkha dukhi. A Vaishnava doesn't want to see the suffering of anyone else. So even praying for all those people is good. But devotees simply only don't pray that they get out of COVID-19. The bigger COVID-19 are the anarthas within our heart. COVID-19 kills us only once, but our anarthas kill us lifetime after lifetime. So therefore, we pray for this also, plus we pray that when they come back out of COVID-19, may they get association of devotees and may that change the course of their life. Because when you get out of COVID-19, it's like, you know, we almost have that Smashan Vairagya, the renunciation which comes when we go to a crematorium, right? So we are fresh off that. So that is a good time for Krishna Bhakti to go inside like that. Is it okay? Yes, Pari.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the knowledge in the class. I've got two questions. That when we, like, it's kind of related to this, but like when we pray to Lord Krishna for for the welfare of the people, or to get out of COVID, so then does it actually help the people who are suffering, or like it's just we're praying and then they're getting better by themselves?
Okay. No. Okay. So, yes, it actually helps. It actually helps. And I, you know, there is a subject called as pranic healing. Have you heard of it? Pranic healing. Pranic healing is a science, okay, and it's actually a subtle science, okay. Even pranic healing, by pranic healing, you can cure someone, right? And when I had an opportunity to little bit of study pranic healing, though I never practiced it after that. Our Rasa Vilasani Mataji is an expert in our congregation in that. Maybe he can give more guidance on that to all of us. But pranic healing, bulk of the healing, there are some techniques. Like for example, they say you have to take your tongue and touch it to your, like that, you know, here, and then you have to do certain things. There are certain processes which are there. But I was told that the intention of a devotee, the sincere intention of a devotee that the other devotee gets cured, actually is the essence, foundation of pranic healing. So, which means pranic healing even works remotely. So, someone can cure someone in Africa also sitting here, okay, with pure intention. So, therefore, in answering your question, even from a material science point of view, okay, our intention can cure someone. There are techniques by which energy can flow like that and cure someone. Now, here we are invoking the Supreme Personality of Godhead's intervention in curing someone. So, why not? If the Supreme, if the Lord believes that our intention is very pure, and the Lord also, ultimately it's the Lord's desire which will happen. The Lord will accept our intention, but the Lord also has to desire for that person to get cured. So yes, if both of that happen, that's fine. Of course, when very very exalted personalities pray, then what happens? The Lord can change the course like that. Prabhupada himself, I have heard this, that Prabhupada was to go back and devotees all prayed for Prabhupada. Prabhupada, not now, we are so new, don't go. Prabhupada said, yes, I asked the Lord, what do you want? I said, okay, it's up to you, when you want to come back, like that. Okay, so there you go. So devotees desire sometimes, you know, can even keep exalted personalities, you know, like that. Otherwise, and it can change, alter the Lord's plans. You know. So many devotees praying for His Holiness Jayamataka Swami Maharaj. A very vivid example in our congregation. Who doesn't love this personality? Everyone loves. You know. Yesterday was this Vyasapur. So, everyone, today is feast, no? Not today. Okay. Okay. So, everyone loves it. So, everyone prayed. Whole ISKCON was praying. Whole devotion fraternity was praying. Right? And then, Lord, there was an intervention. Lord took notice. Okay, so many people praying. I can't take away this man. Maharaj is going from strength to strength now. And we continue praying like that for him. We are also praying for Pankajangiri Prabhu. Right? Such an exalted personality, such a down to earth, simple personality, like that. So we need these devotees, otherwise where will we all go? So we should continue praying.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Okay, anyone else? One minute, we'll give her. Mataji has one. We'll give her also one chance. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Prabhu, what are the symptoms of anantaniriti and whether people who come to the temple are non devotees? Are we, which stage are we in? Are we all in anantaniriti?
I can't say about other people's stay. I can say where I am. Yeah, but generally, you know, and I'm not trying to do this Trinadapi Sunichana thing at all. Okay. Generally we know that we are all in anarthanivati stage. Most devotees are in anarthanivati stage. Okay. Most devotees, I would say. Okay. Of course there are so many saintly personalities in ISKCON who are under pressure. And I really, you know, even if I say that they are in prema stage, who am I to say also? We are not here to give marks to some devotee. We cannot create devotees, okay? But we know that most people are in anartha nivritti stage. How do we know in anartha, we are in anartha nivritti stage? Because we have material attachments. We have false ego. We get hurt when we are chastised. Okay, that means the ego has not gone. We are attached. Material attachments are there. These material attachments, people generally think, no Prabhu, I'm not attached to television, I'm not attached to Mercedes Benz. People think like that, and then people give self-certification, therefore I am not materially attached. Okay. No, material attachment is very subtle, it can come in the subtlest of ways. The first material attachment we have is towards our family members, in a material sense. So, when we develop love of Krishna, when we get out of anartha nivritti, one thing happens, we become fearless in life. So, as long as we have fear, we are in anartha nivritti stage. That is why I can confidently say that I am in anartha nivritti stage. Every time I mean I have no doubt about it, but sometimes Have I progressed little bit towards Nishtha? Look at the mirror and then see. This is no way I am not. Because devotional practices are not consistent. Someday, you know, chanting is good. Someday, you know, still the rounds are, you know, happening at 10 o'clock. No, like that. Okay. Most days we do. But some days are there. So Nishtha means what? No matter whatever happens. For example, if you put a person like me, if I am awake till 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, there is no way I am getting up at 4:30 or 5 or whatever, and no way I can do that. I can't do that. I get a headache. I can't. So therefore, but Nishtha means what? No matter whatever time you sleep, you get up at that time. You don't sleep, but you get up at that time. So, but I am not on the stage. So I know that definitely I am nowhere near Nishtha platform right now. This I am speaking about myself. Okay. So we have to ask ourselves question. Are my material attachments there? Do I have issues with devotees? Relationship issues with devotees? Do I envy? Do I have a little bit of an envy towards the devotees? Do I relish the, if some devotee is going through a problem, do I, no. And if I don't get along with that person, even that small feeling comes from the heart, good. So if all this comes, I tell you what, we don't need to ask anyone. We will know ourselves. We will know ourselves. We will know the instructions of our mind. And when the instructions of the mind comes, if they are very good instructions, go towards Krishna, humble yourself, then no problem. Then our anartha nirvidhi is less. But if the mind is giving us instructions which we know through shastras are not aligned with, it will not be pleasing to the Lord, then we know that this mind is still polluted. Therefore, still anartha nirvidhi is there. Like that.
And fear, being fearless is one of the symptoms of getting out of that.
100%. Being fearless is a symptom of advancement in spiritual life. As long as we are afraid, that means we have still not, we don't understand the Lord's design. We don't completely believe that the end of the day Krishna is waiting and everything is going to be good. If everything is going to be good, why fear? For example, in my childhood, I had a subject called moral science. Okay, and I still vividly remember, there was a diagram in my moral science book. This darkness, a child is there on top, it's a dark cave, and the father is standing below, and the father is telling the child, jump. And then the child was initially not jumping. Finally, the father said, no, jump, I will hold you. And then the child jumped. So the moral of the story was, our supreme father is like that. So we have to have complete faith and we have to jump fearlessly. So right now we are afraid. Why do we over endeavor in material life? Only because we are afraid that, you know, what will happen if I stop earning? Will Krishna maintain me? Surrender means complete faith. Doesn't mean we say, you know, we give up our job frivolously. We have to do our, but we don't over endeavor. So as long as we see all these symptoms in us, we know that we are in our sanctity. That is. Where is Pari gone? She had one more question. Okay, I'll answer her. Please apologize to her on my behalf. Okay, I'll answer her outside. Okay, I'll stop here because it's 9:05. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.